Well, good morning. I'm also recovering from a cold myself, so I apologize for my voice. What I'd like to share with you this morning is talking about our response to Hurricane Katrina and Rita this past fall, and some of the technology that we employed and some of the challenges that that we faced. To start out, we need to, obviously everybody understands what an unprecedented response this was and how large a scope was involved with the response to both Katrina and Rita, as well as Wilma. One of the, give you a little background on Red Cross is just real quickly, we're kind of there for the people side, and to our charter in Congress mandates that we provide disaster assistance to the people of the United States and to alleviate suffering during any kind of calamity. And our first kind of role in large disasters like this is taking care of those people problems related to primarily shelter and feeding. So what we're seeing here is on this particular map, you're seeing some of the expansive kitchen sites that we had throughout the area. We rely on a chapter network. We have over 800 chapters throughout the country that are then supported by a service area network or region network that is then supported by national headquarters to bring, you know, the various assets from around the country to bear when any kind of disaster strikes. This next slide shows the dispersion of some of our shelters, and shelters was a huge operation early on in the response, and as a matter of fact, we still have shelters open as a result of Hurricane Katrina, housing about, I think we still have 7,000 or 8,000 people still in our shelters in parts of Louisiana and Mississippi, those folks that were displaced by the storms. And just to give you a few numbers related to the unprecedented scale, this is as of about the 15th of November. We had a little over 3.5 million overnight stays in shelters. We had served 49 million and a little over 49 million meals and snacks, and we have since hit the 50 million mark. And to give you a comparison to that, in 2004, the hurricanes, we served a total of 16 million meals. In Hurricane Andrew, we only served 5.5 million meals. So it kind of gives you an idea of the scope of this this operation. We've opened 1,400,000 cases, and we've had over 211,000 workers working on this relief operation. Our goal is when we go into an area and to assist our local chapter and local community is we bring a structure together where we're setting up essentially a multi-million dollar corporation with the sole purpose of going out of business as quickly as we can. And so I'm going to talk about the rest of this talk. We'll talk about the technological side of setting up that corporation or corporation-like structure. First of all, talking about voice communications, we utilized over 19,000 cell phones that we received from various vendors. Some of those 19,000, about 3,000 of those were already in our stock that we maintained in our stock in our warehouse in Austin, Texas. We put in 389 orders for T1 connections. At many of those shelters you saw on that map, on that slide, we wanted to provide connections for those the families that had been displaced so that they could be able to communicate outside of the area and communicate with their family members around the country to let them know that they were okay. Well, in many of these places, we were running generators. There was no electricity. The local telecommunication structure was severely impacted. So we worked with the NCS, and the telecommunication service priority system to help us with these orders. Not all 389 made it because some of the shelters started to close by the time we got the ability to put the T1 lines in there for internet connectivity and for our family linking system. But there were 389 orders that were placed. With our VSAT system, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. We were averaging terminating about 5,000 calls a week at the height of the response. And then through Cisco Systems and their network, they terminated an additional 3,000 phone calls daily, and that was primarily from the shelters. So the systems we had set up and getting phone lines and VSAT system to the shelters, they were terminating about 3,000 calls a day, primarily going out. And in order to accomplish a lot of this, we established a multi-vendor task force very early on in the relief operation, about 3 days after Katrina hit. Steve Cooper, our CIO, brought together some of the partners that are listed here on this slide to address that issue of communication with the shelters and allowing such a dispersed population to be able to communicate. And these vendors and many others brought together over $10 million worth of service and equipment to help with that project. Looking at our some of the devices that we use, we utilize many different portable and mobile satellite voice solutions. For example, we use GlobalStar fixed asset units at our kitchen and feeding sites. We used Mobile Satellite Ventures Network to coordinate the dispatching of our emergency communications response vehicles. We also used a mobile data service that allowed for vehicle tracking and messaging. We do not have currently fixed satellite receivers on our emergency response vehicles. The vehicle you see here in the picture is primarily used as a feeding vehicle. We have almost 400 of these in our fleet nationwide, and we're in the process of adding satellite tracking capability to these vehicles. So during Katrina, from one of our vendors, we were able to get 50 satellite systems applied to 50 of our vehicles and use those particularly in the hardest hit areas where we did not have a lot of communications. And in some instances, in some of the areas closest to the coast and most heavily impacted areas, this was the only form of communication we had out of the area, particularly for the first couple of weeks. Our VSAT network, we run our own 80-node VSAT network. The system was previously an SCPC network and was upgraded to TDMA iDirect technology to enhance the capability to respond to this disaster. The system is fully integrated with a host of voice and data solutions. The American Red Cross VSAT network is managed by remote volunteers from across the country. From remote access. The volunteers aren't remote. They're in various parts of the country. The volunteers take shifts and use remote computers to provide network support to the field. With the help from our partner, PanAmSat, we expanded our bandwidth from 4.8 megahertz to 9.6 megahertz to meet the needs of this particular disaster. And I don't know if you can see too well, but this is an ad hoc environment where we set up a headquarters, and it's literally putting together a full-blown office environment in a oftentimes like an old Walmart or some store that has maybe gone out of business. This particular site, I believe, had over 19,000 square feet that we used at headquarters. We're using wireless access points inside the facility. We've got some of our HF radio communication equipment you see here on the picture on the right. And we set up a full office-type environment with VoIP phones and wireless computer access. Talking about going back to the shelter side, we established a family linking system primarily via satellite. Satellite phones and internet kiosks were used at our shelters to link family members to where other types of services were not available. Where there was no phone service, we had satellite capability through satellite phones so that they could connect to family members. We also established the 800 loved ones, that telephone 800 number to help connect people. We established the KatrinaSafe.org website. And you can see here over 333,000 evacuee records were communicated on that particular website. Our the American Red Cross has 15 vehicles with VSAT technology that's integrated. We also have over 50 fixed and portable VSAT systems. On the far right, you see an experimental inflatable VSAT antenna. This antenna was used at a Red Cross shelter site during the response. This picture here is of a VSAT system on a 500-foot tower space donated by WWL-TV in New Orleans. And below is the coverage map showing the radio coverage in the affected area. This provided continuous radio coverage from our from Mobile Bay to Jasper, Texas. And this is on our 47.42 megahertz system. Having this radio coverage via satellite allowed us to stay in contact with our 300-plus feeding and logistical vehicles up and down the Gulf Coast. The system used VSAT and VoIP technology to link a legacy 47.42 low-band radio system. We also utilized direct satellite broadcasters provided much-needed messaging to our clients through XM satellite radio. They actually set up a Red Cross channel for us and had interviewers actually interviewing Red Cross staff and putting up messages on XM radio so we could get out vital information to help with individuals' recovery utilizing XM satellite radio. DirecTV also allowed loved ones to type messages on their computers and have them displayed in shelters in the affected areas. And we couldn't do this without our volunteers. Our response technology team trains hundreds of volunteers from chapters across the country to deploy the satellite and other technology. So our volunteer system is vital for this system to work. We also utilized our GIS technology and communicating with FEMA and the NGA, the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, receiving data from them remotely to utilize in our GIS system. And here are a sample of some of those maps. We also were able to deploy this mapping technology via the web. And so we utilize a ArcIMS environment for our computerized mapping so that in the field, our workers in the field would have access to all the maps that we could generate here at National Headquarters. They could manipulate them, turn on layers that they saw fit. We also utilized Google Earth to display much of our technology. And wrapping up here, one interesting story looking at communication support in Slidell, Louisiana, about 20 hours after power had been lost and all communications was lost in Slidell. One of our Red Cross emergency communications response vehicles arrived and provided communications capabilities for the entire town, their fire, their police, the mayor, all of their phone system. They utilized our emergency communications response vehicle for about 2.5 weeks. And what's interesting is this, and one of the issues that comes out of this is, had our vehicle not been there, and it was just a lucky chance that we were able to provide that vehicle, there was no backup in Slidell. There was nothing had been planned for what Slidell, what the community would have done with a total failure of the phone system and the power structure for communication. So we were very fortunate that we were able to support that effort. And looking at some of the lessons learned and some of the issues, availability of additional equipment and activation can be overwhelmed. A lot of the extra bandwidth, trying to get extra bandwidth at the time, there was a huge order put in by FEMA, and it was very tough to get additional bandwidth for our satellite communications. VSAT interoperability between partner agencies has got to be better to allow for the shared use of resources. Obviously, electrical power was a problem, and fuel was a huge problem in this particular disaster, because even if you had a generator, you couldn't get fuel to the generator to get it started. So once you, if you did get a generator into the area, we were having to make runs with fuel trucks and literally go in the dark of night back behind buildings to fuel up jerry cans to go fuel your generator so nobody would find out that you had fuel. So it was a very tense time, particularly the first couple of weeks. United States Navy offered VSAT capability, but it was too complicated to institute at the time. We really needed to look at an agreement beforehand, so that's something we're going back to work on. And I think that is it. These are just an example of some of the some of the partners that worked with us. Many of these agencies and companies provided millions of dollars of donated services and equipment. So we couldn't have done it without that joint effort. So do we want to do questions now, David, or do it as a panel?
Why don't we hold the questions till the end of the panel?
Okay.
Just for the sake of
Thank you very much.